Thank you for taking the time to listen to this CD. You may hear some things that challenge your thinking, challenge your understanding of the Scripture, but also encourage you and edify you. In Acts chapter 17, the Scripture speaks of the noble Bereans who received the Word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures to see if those things were so. My prayer today is that your nobleness and hunger for God will be stimulated through this Free Food for the Soul CD. Now, let's have some free food for the soul. Matthew chapter 11 and 6, and this is going to be part 2. If you would like, there are the CDs from Wednesday night available in the back, which is part 1. I'm really not going to go over too much of Wednesday night here, just a little bit. But I just felt real strong because this is something that affects churches, it affects people. Amen. Matthew 11 and 6, and I'm reading from the ESV, says, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." And I want to talk about the forgotten beatitude. The forgotten beatitude. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord, and we pray for your touch. Touch us with your word. Touch us with your spirit today, God, and we'll be sure to bless you and praise you. And everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Go on to the next slide. Everybody is going to get offended sometime. If you want a further description of that, listen to the CD from Wednesday night. The Scripture tells us that there's none of us that are so perfect that we do not offend somebody. Amen. Say something wrong. Say something to upset somebody. Maybe we should read that Scripture. I don't know. Let me go ahead, because I think it's very valuable here. And these are my notes from Thursday night. And it's from James chapter 3 and verse 2 in the Amplified Version. James chapter 3 and verse 2. So if you put up the NIV, it should be fairly close. "For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature." What the Apostle James is saying here is none of us have that ability. You ever hear somebody say, "Well, if you're perfect, stand up"? That's basically what he was saying, that we are in such a state in the flesh, and I'm not talking about being sinful now. You can just, out of total innocence in affairs, offend somebody. And you might say the wrong thing. Anybody ever? Now, I know this is an American term, so you may not, but you've heard me long enough. Anybody ever put your foot in your mouth? Anybody ever put your foot? Sure, we all do that. And just because you've been living for God for 30 years or 3 years or 6 months does not mean that you don't have the ability to put your foot in your mouth and say the wrong thing and offend somebody without even knowing it. But our response, really, our response tells us a little bit about ourselves. It will reveal, our response to being offended will reveal our level of spiritual maturity. Amen? Think about it. Your response to what somebody does, and Jesus said, you know, the first Scripture we read, and believe it or not, this is actually going to go into Pentecost Sunday. Jesus said, he said, "Blessed are those that are not offended by me." Do you know how many people get offended by the Lord? Did you know, as we'll read in the Scriptures just a little bit, that everybody with him on crucifixion night got offended at him. That's what the scripture says. They got offended by him. And if Jesus has the ability to offend, how much less have we the ability to offend? Amen? If people get offended with the Lord, sometimes I sit there and say, what hope have I? I used to think I was real smart. I really did. When I was coming up in the ministry, and of course I've been in the ministry now for, I started preaching 32 and a half years ago. So I've been involved in ministry a very long time now. And I used to see people have a problem with the pastor and so on and so forth. And I used to think, when I get to that place, I know exactly what to do. Guess what? I don't know what to do. Because no matter what, you can offend somebody. Amen? The chapter on love, and this is just the very little I'm going to go over from Thursday night, because I really would like you to listen to the CD so I don't have to go over all this again. The chapter on love in the scripture tells us, it says love beareth all things, love is patient in all things. Never talks about your brother should be patient in all things. Your brother should love in all things. It talks about how you should. Amen? How you should. Praise God. Go to the next slide, if you would, Brother Josh. First Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7. Love bears up under a certain amount and then collapses. Is that what it says? No. It says love, Christian love. And we're talking about, again, agape love, which is brotherly love. This is why I can go to Mike, as I said. Were you here Wednesday night, Mike? Yeah. Sometimes I get lost in space. I used Damien as the example Wednesday night. But I could go up and say, man, I love you and appreciate you, and we're not homosexuals. Amen. The world gets you to thinking that you're queer or something because they've taken the term of love and they really messed it up. It's an agape love. It's a brotherly love. And that brotherly love bears up under anything. That brotherly love is ready to believe the best of every person. Amen. Somebody comes to me and says, so-and-so, you know, they did that, and I've actually had this where somebody did that, and I told them I won't believe that until it actually happens. We should give each other the benefit of the doubt. Now, unfortunately, if you break that doubt, then you have to suffer the consequences. But we really should be willing to give each other the doubt, to love each other, to be bearing of each other. Amen. Go to the next slide, the 13th chapter and the 4th verse. Love endures long, is patient, is kind, never is envious, never boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. When you see somebody that displays these things, you know that they do not have the love of God in them. Doesn't the Bible say it says that you shall know them by their fruits? Right? You can look at traits and know that somebody may not have the love of God in them. What do? You pray the Lord will help them. Amen? Sometimes there are certain circumstances where you have to do something different, but that's not every circumstance. The next slide is the 5th verse. It's not conceited. It's not arrogant, inflated with pride. It's not rude, unmannerly. Does not act unbecomingly. When you see someone acting rude and unmannerly and acting unbecomingly, you know that they don't have the love of God in them. Amen? Next slide. Now, I want you to consider something. If you saw Jesus die on the cross, you saw them take his body away, you know they laid him in the sepulcher, and you saw that he was resurrected. You saw him. You talked to him. And he told you to go to Jerusalem and tarry for the Holy Ghost. Would you do that? I think I would. I think I would. Because I saw a man that's dead. He's alive now. He even got holes in his hands. And he's not bleeding. Yet, 500 or approximately, I think it's more like 480 or something like that, maybe even a little less, approximately 500 saw him after the resurrection. But you know, the funny thing about that is that if you go to the next slide, only 120 were there on the day of Pentecost. If you find, and I'm saying tarried until, but if you read the scripture, really the scripture says in Acts chapter 1, and I think we'll read this a little bit later on, it talks about how they were waiting, praying, seeking the face of the Lord. It named them, and it named Mary, the mother of Jesus, and it said the company was about 120 of them. So the people that saw Jesus resurrected, saw the great miracle, didn't show up at the party, basically. Why is that? Do you ever think about why, you know, what would cause somebody to be like that? And go to the next slide. We're going to find some answers here. Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 through 34 in the King James Version. Then said Jesus unto them, all of you are going to be offended because of me this night. Not some of you, but all of you. Anybody ever feel offended at the Lord? Maybe you prayed and somebody died. Just a few months ago, I went down to the hospital in Newark, one of the hospitals there. And I prayed for this man. And I felt the Lord was going to bring him out of that coma. And we would be able to speak to him. That's exactly what happened. I had it set up. I was going to go teach him Bible studies. And he did the most inconvenient thing. He died. I didn't understand that. And if I allowed myself to, I could get offended in the Lord. Lord, you gave me this feeling. It was not of myself. Why did this happen? I don't understand some things sometimes. But offense is a choice. You can get offended in God. Wednesday night, a Thursday night midweek, we talked about being offended by your brother. But this morning, or this afternoon, I want to talk about being offended by Jesus. People can get offended. And he said, there's a blessing for those that don't get offended by me. He said, it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you unto Galilee. Why? Let's go to the next slide. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men be offended because of you, yet I will never be offended. Yeah, Peter. You know what happened to Peter? He got offended. But the key with Peter is Peter didn't stay offended. Sometimes you can get hurt by situations. But the key to that is not to stay hurt by situations. To overcome things. We call it in Pentecostal speak, getting the victory. Can anybody say amen? Getting the victory over your hurts. Getting the victory over your past. Getting the victory over difficult situations. The Lord can give us the victory. Amen? I know some folks, and I can't really name names and so on and so forth, but I know some folks in this church that were very hurt by things in their childhood, but have totally overcome that. You don't have to be destroyed by what happened in your past. Jesus can give you the victory. And I have one that I can tell. And if Brother Rick will let me tell it. I think he'll be okay if I tell this. When he was a child, he was severely beaten. Is it all right if I tell that, Brother Rick? And as far as I know, he's pretty normal right now. He said, back in those days, and I can't remember the entire story, you know, exactly how you put it, Brother Rick, but your parents beat you desperately. And today, you know, today in the United States, if his parents did to him what they did to him back then, they'd be in jail. He'd be with Dyfus, out of the house. That's it. Because we're not talking about getting a spanking on the rear end here. You're talking about getting just beat the living daylights out of you. Yet that doesn't drag him down today. Why? Because Jesus can give you the victory over all your past. Amen. I hope Brother Rick doesn't mind me telling it, but that's a very, very common thing that can happen to folks. Some folks never overcome that. They never overcome what the past has done to them. 34th verse, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, Peter, tonight, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. Or before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Go to the next slide. And we'll find that Peter did get offended. He denied it again, and this is the very end of what was happening here. He denied it again, and a little after, they stood by and said, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agrees thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I don't know this man who you're talking of. Not only did Peter deny Jesus, but Peter cursed it out. You know, we could, and we probably shouldn't, but there's all kinds of imaginations that can, just imagine it if you want. You know, somebody cursing, they're just not one of them, you know, one of those people there. That's what Peter was doing. I don't want to go too far in that, but he just cursed and he swore and he's not one of them. Why did that happen? Because somewhere along the line, he got offended. You know, if this is the way it's going to be, I don't need to be part of that Jesus. This is crazy. You know, he can do whatever he wants to do, and he's getting crucified on the cross. He's just going to die. He's been lying to us the whole time. Peter got offended. And go to the next slide. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter and remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. See, here's the thing with Peter. Later on, you find that Peter's sins were forgiven, but you never find where Peter actually said to Jesus, forgive me, Lord. And you can find the same thing with Mary Magdalene. It says that she wept and she washed his feet with her tears, and Jesus looked at her and said, your sins are many, but your sins are forgiven you. And she didn't say a word. All she did was weep, and she cried. Because I preach a message on this. It's called Tears Are a Language That God Understands. Peter never went up, that we can see in the scripture at least, and said, Jesus, will you forgive me? But his tears wept bitterly. That was his repentance that was there. Peter dealt with his offense. Peter didn't stay offended and use this at Jesus and tell Jesus, you know, if you're so wrong, because if you'd have done this, if you'd have done that, you should have let me know this, you should have let me know that, and, you know, the circle goes on and the song never ends. But Peter dealt with it at what we call a prayer altar. Doesn't say he was at the altar, but he wept bitterly, the scripture says. No doubt that in that weeping, he said, God, would you please forgive me? Or at least crying, he thought, that's something. So, you know, some of us feel condemned when we come to the Lord and all we can do is cry, and we don't feel like God has heard us. God will hear your tears. His hearing is not like our hearing. Tears are a language that God does understand. So Peter dealt with his offense, and Peter overcame his offense. Next slide, if you would be so kind. Over 500 witnessed the resurrection of Christ, yet only 120 attended the celebration of the Feast of Pentecost on the upper room with the apostles. Praise God. Am I getting these slides right here? I hope I'm getting them right. Yeah, that's the one. Go to the next one if you would. Oh, yeah, this is the Amplified version. Back to verse 31. That's what I'm doing here. Then Jesus said unto them, you will all be offended. All of you. All of you are going to stumble. All of you are going to fall away because of me this night. Just because you get offended, just because you fall away, you know, that doesn't mean that you have to stay offended. Come on. You see, offense is a tool that Satan uses to destroy people's walk with God. I've had some things happen to me recently I could get very offended over, but it's a choice. It's a choice that I make, that I say, I'm just going to feel sorry for them. And I'm not going to allow myself to be offended. You know, you may sting a little bit. You might hurt a little bit. But offense is something that's deeper than that. Offense gets a hold of you. And offense takes you and puts bitterness inside of you. You can stop that. That doesn't have to happen. You can be offended with God today. And you can be bitter against God. And somewhere along the line, maybe today, this very day, you will be able to release that bitterness to the Lord. I don't know, like I said, why the Lord, you know, and I couldn't get away from this, so you'll have to forgive me. This just doesn't seem like a Sunday message. It's Pentecost Sunday. I should be preaching like a house on fire. It just doesn't, I don't feel it today. This is what I feel. Is this all right? For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. He's referring here to Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7, which is on our next slide, making it easy since we don't have the... Brother Josh, I've been trying to figure out how to get the Amplified on Song Show, and there's some kind of crazy thing going on with that. So I haven't been able to figure it out yet. And Zechariah 13 and 7 and 8 from the Amplified says, Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man who is my associate, says the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. I will turn my back, my hand, and stretch it out against again upon the little ones of the flock. And go to the next slide. And in all the land, says the Lord, two-thirds shall be cut off and perish, but one-third shall be alive. So go to the next slide. Did God cut them off? You know, we were talking here about the, you know, you saw so many that were with Jesus, so many that were in, with the resurrection, yet only 120 showed up in the upper room. And I don't know how many showed up in the crowd of Pentecost, but the scripture here said that two-thirds of them would be cut off. Did God cut them off? No, God didn't cut them off. What happens is your faith cuts you off. Your faith. Because if you get offended in God, no matter how much I preach, no matter how much somebody else teaches, you cannot receive that. And this goes back, we preached 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago on, I think the title was, Don't Let the Devil Play You for a Fool. Now, if you didn't hear that, you need to take that CD. Don't let the devil play you for a fool. Because when you get in the place where you get offended, that stronghold is created. And that stronghold then causes you not to be able to have faith. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And that's talking about the preaching. I don't know how else direct you can get. When it talks about faith comes by hearing, you know, that's talking about the preaching of the word, just what I'm doing today. I mean, I might not be, you know, guffing it out and really preaching. I'm teaching today more, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, this is how faith comes. This is what you're hearing today builds your faith or destroys it. Amen? Builds it or destroys it. My prayer is that the words that I say will always build your faith. Now, let me, and I know most of you know this, but and my back is bothering me a little bit today, so I'm going to take off my shoes if that's okay. Because after all, we are on holy ground. That's what he told Moses, take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. But that's just because my back hurts. When you see somebody lacking that Christian love and condemning, you're this, you're that, you're a liar, you're a cheat, you're stealing, whatever the case is. They don't espouse, now I'm not talking about an illegal situation like you're at court or something like that, or but I'm just talking about when somebody gets out of sorts. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Somebody, you ever have anybody get out of sorts with you and they're all bent out of shape for one reason or another? Sure. Oh, man. I don't believe my daughter would do that. I'm sorry, Jarrett. Now, I think she could slap you upside the head and knock you silly. But as far as being vindictive like that, that's not my daughter. My daughter is a lovely woman now. She's not a girl anymore. I got a lovely granddaughter, hallelujah. But when somebody comes up, and maybe we could use Jarrett for an example. Because I've said this 100 times, I'm going to say it 101. Jarrett, I haven't talked to him like this, but I've used this kind of example 100 times. Jarrett, you're never going to be anything. You know, I know a preacher, a couple of preachers now. And I'm very glad to say one of them, we had a discussion, actually he's out in Oklahoma, and he's my nephew. So if you're watching us, God bless you, I'm proud of you, bro. He just wasn't sure whether he was called to preach because a person in the ministry was dragging him down. You're not called, you're not this, you're not, always condemning. Well, I told him, I said, you know what? I said, you got to get your answer for yourself. Because when you get your answer for yourself, when troubles come in the ministry, and they're going to come, you can stand there and say, I know God, and I know I'm called of the Lord. And I talked to him yesterday, and he's pursuing his ministerial credentials and his ministerial career. I'm very proud of him for getting to that place to overcome what people have done to him in the past. Amen. But sometimes people will talk to you, and many times they'll talk to children like this. That's why I'm talking to Jarrett like this. You're no good. What's the matter with you? You're never going to be anything. Anybody ever been talked to like that? My own mom. She said, I remember sitting at the table with her many years ago. And she said, what do you want to know how to do? What do you want to do? I said, I want to know how to do everything. You can't possibly know how to do everything. Well, most of you that know me, and I'm a little bit limited this last couple of years because of my back and everything, but I can do just about anything. And if you give me a book, I can do it. I've rebuilt transmissions on cars, engines. Well, I just get a book. So I can do stuff. We've put the heating and air in here, built additions and all kinds of crazy stuff. Because I don't let what people say worry me. But there are people that will tell you, you know, you're no good, you're low down. They never give you the opportunity to advance. But that's not the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord will give you, you know, and this is what we call the difference between condemnation and conviction. I hope you are enjoying today's message from God's Word from Free Food for the Soul. Free Food for the Soul is a ministry of the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. We are located at 51 Center Avenue in Secaucus, New Jersey, one block from Town Hall. Our phone number is 201-832-1955. Our website is www.njupc.org. Now, let's get back to the remainder of today's message from Free Food for the Soul. Condemnation is that no good, low down, never achieve, Never going to be anything. Never going to happen. Might as well give up. Anybody ever felt that in your life? I've been told by other preachers I ought to quit preaching. Not recently, I mean 20 years ago. Maybe if they're watching this webcast, I can go, nah, 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 nah. Because I held true to the call of God. Amen. The Lord will never do that to you. He will somehow, he might tell you you're low down, you know, you've done this, you do that. You got to straighten it out, though. If you will straighten it out and get right with me, you can be anything. See the difference there? The difference there is his condemnation tells you you can never achieve. Conviction tells you, yeah, you might be a no good bum, but through Jesus Christ, you can be anything. The Lord can help you. So don't ever let, and recognize that. Recognize that when people talk to you, when they bring these things forth, recognize the spirit that they're coming from. Because a condemning person is not coming from the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I hope that helps you in the long run, because it needs to help us. Amen. Let me see where we are. I'm lost here. Yes, their faith, their own faith cut them off. Go to the next slide, if you would. Why did it cut them off? It cut them off very simply. John 13, 7 and 8, we're actually probably 7, says, what I am doing now, he's talking about in the Last Supper, what I'm doing now, you don't understand. You don't understand it now, but afterwards you will understand. People get offended in Jesus because they don't understand the scriptures. It's a very well-known fact that they got offended back then because they thought, and history tells us, and even today with the Jews, they're looking for a Savior to come, a Messiah to come, that's going to restore Israel and so on and so forth. They got offended with Jesus because he didn't come with an army. He didn't come to lead them in battle. He came to die. That wasn't who they thought he was. He got offended because they did not understand the scriptures. The scriptures says that he came to die. And when a person does not understand the scriptures completely, they can get offended by you. You can preach the word of God. They'll get offended by you because they don't understand what you're talking about. Which also goes back to the level of spiritual maturity, because if you're spiritually mature, you're going to want to know, why is this so? I call it having a teachable spirit. Okay, if this is the reason why, please show me why. Amen? And then I will do my best to explain. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I've found that no matter how much I try to explain, some folks just don't want to hear it anyway. Now, go to the next slide. This is a funny thing. They didn't understand the scripture, yet Jesus let them get offended. Why? It wasn't until after the resurrection that he opened their understanding. And we'll look at that scripture in just a little bit. Just not too long ago, and go to the next slide if you would, I preached a message called Simon Magus, talking about Simon the Sorcerer and how he was the father of all heresies, and he's actually recorded in the history books being the father of heresies back from the first century. And here's the thing that happened to Simon Magus. He said, the apostle said, I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness. When you get offended, it's very easy. If you cannot let it go, and what the scripture says, and go to the next slide, is that there's what they call a root of bitterness. You know what a root of bitterness is? It's something that's real tiny. When you plant a grass seed and the little root springs out under the dirt, do you see that? No. Bitterness will drop a seed inside of you. It'll spring a root inside of you. And if you do not dig out bitterness out of your life, it will destroy you. Amen? The scripture says, not only will it destroy you, it will defile many. Many people are going to be defiled because of the root of bitterness that takes a hold in a person's life. Amen. So let me encourage you tonight. Don't be bitter. You can get offended, but be like Peter and don't be bitter. Just work it out with the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you with that thing. He'll help you. The Lord doesn't want anybody to be lost. But he also wants us to be overcomers. Go to the next slide, and that's going to be out of the Amplified Version. Exercise foresight. Be on the watch to look after one another to see that no one fails or falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, his unmerited favor, and spiritual blessing in order, next slide, in order that no root of resentment. What is bitterness? You say, I'm not bitter. Do you resent somebody? Do you hate somebody? Then yes, you're bitter. Don't let that root shoot forth and cause trouble and bitter torment, and many become contaminated and defiled by it. That's what bitterness will do to a person. Bitterness will destroy them. Amen. If you wonder what I'm looking for, I'm looking for my phone. Even up here, I lost it. So sometimes I have to laugh at myself. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. This is where they finally got their opening of their understanding. Luke 24, 44 through 48 in the ESV. Then he said unto them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their understanding, opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and go on. And he said to them, thus it is written, thus it behoved that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Here was the thing. He had already let them get offended. It was up to them to work out. You know, the scripture says, and I heard somebody quote it recently, scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You ever read that? It's not talking about, let's see, you can do it your way, and I can do it my way. You know, maybe you folks, you do this, but we do this, and we're different. And I know the scripture talks about it, but, you know, we'll just go our way. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about working some things out of your life. Work out your own salvation. Amen. Sometimes people partake of stuff that they shouldn't partake of. Work out your own salvation. Sometimes they've got issues, they've got bitterness, they've got anger, they've got hatred. Work out your own salvation. I can't work those issues out of people's lives. If I was, you know, and God won't do that. He's going to let you work out your own stuff. Amen. He'll help you now. He'll help you. But he's not going to be the one that removes it. The scripture says, mortify the deeds of the body. Now, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, will help you to overcome. But there's some action that you have to take on your part still. He's not going to do everything for you. You've got to do some stuff for yourself. Amen. 120. Next slide, I guess, which is this one. 120, laid aside the offense. Because the scripture said they all got offended. Yet there was some that laid aside their offense. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. And Peter and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, All of these were in one accord and were devoting themselves to prayer together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus. So, you know, she's not blessed above woman. She's blessed among women. Mary was there seeking the Holy Ghost. Amen. So if you got some Catholic friends, tell them you don't need to pray to Mary. Amen. Hallelujah. She needed the Holy Ghost too. And his brothers. And, you know, some people could get offended by me saying that because they don't understand the scripture. You see that? Prime example right there. Get offended because I dare say we shouldn't pray to Mary. In these days, Peter stood up among the brothers, and the company of the persons was in all about 120. However, they did it. They had the ability to lay aside the offense. They got offended in Jesus, but they laid aside the offense. They put it aside. And do you know how long it was between the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the Feast of Pentecost? He said, go tarry. Pentecost is the 50th day. 50 days. They were in the upper room seeking the face of God. I don't know, maybe perhaps some of them got offended and left because they figured that, man, they sought God long enough. The Lord should have poured something out on them by now. He ain't going to do it. I'm just going to get out of here. You think that's possible? How many of us, you say, well, I've sought God. God hasn't done anything for me. Have you sat in the house 50 days solid, seeking and praying with the brethren and the sisters and asking for the outpouring of the Spirit? 50 days. They didn't allow themselves to be discouraged. They didn't allow themselves to hear the voice of the enemy. You know, if God was really real, he'd come down and give this to you. He'd do this or he'd do that. You know, you just might as well. And then you get offended because, Jesus, why didn't you keep me from this stuff? But they just kept seeking. They just kept praying. I don't know if they were fasting. I don't know what was going on. In that respect, the scripture doesn't really tell us that. Sure, maybe there was some fasting going on, seeking the face of the Lord. And they began to develop a pure heart. You know, your answer never really comes right away, unfortunately. Some people get offended with the Lord because they're like, you know, your answer hasn't come when I thought your answer should come, Lord. So, you know, I'm getting fed up with this. Are you offended in Jesus? Because the scripture says now, seek and you shall find. Knock, it's going to be open to you. Ask and it shall be given. Just doesn't tell you how long you got to knock, how long you got to seek, how long you got to ask. So why does God do that? He's got his reasons, I'm sure. He wants to develop some things inside of us. I went through some things, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, or that really helped me where I am today. My wife and I were discussing some things this morning. She says, well, maybe this is why you went through some of the things that you went through in the past. Because obviously she knows my life intimately because we've been married now for, I got to get it right now, 33 years in December. So 32 and a half years. So she knows me. She knows all the offenses in my life. She knows all the ups. She knows all the downs. And I deal with some stuff these days, and she says, well, maybe this is why the Lord lets you go through some things, because I'm just kind of cruising through them. Sure, some things upset me. I'm not going to say I'm perfect. But the bottom line is the Lord can help us. But there were times when I sought the Lord, and I didn't get my answer right away. Took quite a while to get the answer. But I promise you, if you will keep seeking the Lord, he's going to give you an answer. Just like if you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet, you just keep doing what they seek the Lord. Pray, ask God for the Holy. He'll give it to you. How many people have I seen? Well, I ain't got the Holy Ghost yet, and they get offended. The bottom line is, do you know who keeps you from receiving the Holy Ghost? You do. Because he says that it's the free gift. If you don't receive the Holy Ghost, it's because there's something inside of you that needs to be straightened out. Something inside of you, and I've got a little Bible study called Umbrellas that keep you from receiving the blessings of God. There's something that's keeping you from receiving what the Lord has for you. You've got to identify that, get rid of that umbrella, and just, I saw a bunch of umbrellas out there. You know, as an old song says, walk in the rain with the one you love. You know, that's what you got to do. Forget the umbrella. Take it and put it off and walk with Jesus in the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Forget your preconceived notions. Forget all the times people told you you can't have the Holy Ghost. Forget all the times people say, well, you're going to church. What are you going to do in church? Oh, man, you don't know what God can do in a life if they will just forget about what everybody else says. Don't get offended in them. Don't get offended in the Lord. Amen. This is what they folks did. Don't you think that, you know, I mean, it's in the upper room. Somebody said it was the portico of the temple. Hey, you guys have been up there for 7 days. What's the matter with you? Come on, guys. It's 21 days you're up there. What are you talking about, this gift that's coming from? There ain't nothing happening. You guys might as well just give up. Now, the Scripture doesn't detail that. It doesn't detail what happened to Noah either. Noah spent 120 years. What you doing, Noah? I'm building an ark. What are you building, a boat? Where there's no water, it's going to rain. What's rain, Noah? Well, I don't know, but God said it's going to rain. Noah, you're nuts. Noah, you've been working on this thing for 80 years. Don't you think it's time to quit? Maybe on the day of Pentecost. Come on, Peter. Peter, it's been 30 days now. Peter, it's been 40 days. But you know what finally happened? They got to that 50th day. And the Scripture tells us in the next slide, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all in one place. And suddenly, everybody say, suddenly. Man, wasn't that, Sister Yvonne, wasn't that accident suddenly? We're driving along. We're just getting all done. Suddenly, this woman comes out and smashes us in the side. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Maybe that's why they said to Peter, these guys are drunk. Man, they've been up there for 50 days. I might act crazy too if I was cooped up in an upper room with 120 people for 50 days. Right? Think about it. Think about the ramifications. Don't get offended in Jesus because you've been seeking him for just a little while and you ain't got your answer. Just keep on seeking the Lord. Just keep on asking God to give you your answer. I promise you, you're going to get your answer. When you get it, you're going to know it's from God. Sister E, why don't you come on out? Becky, maybe you can help Mom. Send her out here to help me. Offense. Offense. Think about offense. Think about people being bad with you. Maybe you've been persecuted a little bit. You know, the Bible says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus might have somebody say some bad things about them. No. It says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. And if you go through some things, you could get offended with Jesus. You could get offended that you're working on a table saw and chopped off your fingertips. God didn't protect you from that. Well, I'll tell you what, I've seen a preacher since then, he cut off his fingers like that. I'd sure rather just be missing the tops and part of one than all my fingers. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I know the Spirit of the Lord is kind of talking to us today. There's a reason that I preached all this. But I had an old song. We were going to do this at the beginning of the service, and we didn't get to it. But that's all right. Maybe there's a reason. I've got a long morning by and by, Lord, remember me. I want you to strengthen me, encourage me, deliver me, I pray. For I know my weakness, and that is why I say I've got a long way to go to be like the Lord. Come on, why don't you find a place? Step out of your seats. Come to the altar. If you need the Holy Ghost today, God can fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just yield yourself to Him. Yield yourself to the Spirit of the Lord. I've got a long, long way to go just to be like Him. Upon my brow, now that I look back, I've never been spat upon, ridiculed, wounded in my side. Life's no bed of roses, but look at me, I'm alive. I've got a long way to go to be like. Think about it. Think about your life situation. Think about your difficulties. Amen. How about you? Are you perfect? Give your brother some grace. Give your sister some grace. Long way to go just to be like Him. I've got to be merciful. I'm going to victory. Hallelujah. And when I reach that city some morning by and by, Lord, remember me. I want you to strengthen me, encourage me, deliver me, I pray. For I know my weakness, and that is why I say,
what must I do to be saved?
Well, before I get into the direct answer, I'm going to assume you believe the Bible.
Right.
If somebody doesn't believe the Bible, I start with experience.
Totally different issue.
Well, all of us are sinners, and therefore all of us are separated from God by our sin. And we see that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Romans 6, 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Romans 1:16 says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So the way that we're saved is through the gospel of Jesus Christ and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what I need to add from the outset is, in the scriptural sense, and certainly when you're talking about salvation, believing is more than mental understanding, mental agreement, or verbal profession. It actually includes obedience to what you profess. And we see this in Romans. Romans 1:5 speaks of the obedience of faith. So the very book and the very inspired author who speaks perhaps more than any other about salvation by faith tells us what kind of faith he's talking about. It's faith that produces obedience. Faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin. You cannot separate one from the other. If you truly believe God, you'll believe His word. If you truly believe His Word, you'll act upon His Word. If I yell out, the building is on fire, if you really believe that, you're not going to just sit there and tell me, oh, thank you for that bit of information. I acknowledge it and I profess it. No, you're going to act on it. You're going to run out of the building. And if you do, we could say that I saved you. Or we could say that you're saved because you believe me. Or we could say you're saved because you acted on what you believe. And that's why Romans 6:17, Paul says that you used to be the slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the doctrine that was delivered you. So the same author that says you're saved by believing the gospel also says you're saved by obeying the doctrine. Those are not two different things. Right. It's the same thing. Now, let me fast forward. On the day of Pentecost, the 120 received this wonderful experience. Peter preached to them, to the thousands of believers that gathered. And he preached, if you study it, he preached simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in Acts 2. That is the gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, He was buried, He rose again to provide victory. So we must believe that gospel, or as I've just explained, we must somehow obey that gospel. Believe it to the point that we act upon it, we apply it to our lives. How do we do that? We find the answer in Acts 2. Peter preached the simple message that Jesus died, but His body did not decay in the tomb. He was raised on the third day, and then the people cried out, "What shall we do?" And He said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 2:38. When we repent, we're dying to the old life. We identify with Christ's death. When we're baptized in Jesus' name, it's a burial with Christ. And then when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's the resurrection of life of Christ. So when we believe the gospel, we will obey the gospel, and we receive the experience that Peter commanded in Acts chapter 2.
So when we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth, is commonly expressed, or
yes,
is expressed in some settings, it's more than just "I believe."
Right.
And it being a mental assent, but it's a behavior, it's action taken.
Yes. In Acts, in Romans 10, which you're referring to, if you read that context, Paul was explaining why the Jewish people as a whole are not saved. And he said it's because they've not believed the message of Christ. And then so he explains the basis of salvation, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ and confess Him. Now, he wasn't explaining to a sinner what to do at the altar. He was writing to the church,
right,
explaining why aren't the Jews receiving the promises of God? Because their foundation is off. They won't confess Christ. Now, if they will confess Jesus and believe that He rose from the dead, then they could be saved. But of course, his audience knows, well, if you confess Jesus as Lord, that means you're obeying Him as your Lord. If you believe that He was raised from the dead, that means you'll receive the Spirit of the resurrected Christ. So he didn't have to fill in the blanks for his audience. They had already experienced that.
He was writing to the church.
Yes, and he was explaining the foundation. You've got to get your foundation right, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, we don't deny, we need to emphasize, salvation is by the grace of God. That means it's a gift of God. We receive it through faith in Jesus Christ. It's by faith.
I hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word from Free Food for the Soul. Free Food for the Soul is a ministry of the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. God is real, He cares for you, and has a deeper walk for you in the Spirit. Feel free to be our guest this Sunday at the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. We are located at 51 Center Avenue in Secaucus, New Jersey, one block behind Town Hall. Sunday Bible class starts at 12:30, and our worship celebration starts promptly at 1 o'clock. Our phone number is 201-832-1955. Our website is www.njupc.org. I trust that you have been both fed and blessed today from God's Word through Free Food for the Soul.